We've come this far by faith. We're leaning on the Lord. We're trusting in His holy word. I ought to have some witnesses. He's never failed me yet. That's why I'm singing, I can't turn around. Because He's never failed me yet. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't trust a God like that? Can you turn with me a little while this morning as God give me grace and utterance that I may proclaim this gospel word in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter. Good morning. Thank God for the preachers. Thank God for the deacon. Thank God for the ensemble, the musicians. God bless you, ushers. God bless you. Thank God that you didn't think it robbery to come to the house of the Lord. I guess I'm miscalculated. I thought that the church would be overflowing like Walmart and like Ross's. And I thought everybody would be running from the coronavirus. And I'm going to share with you in a little while the safest place that you can be in the whole wide world is in the house of the Lord. They're closing down everything else. They monitoring the church, but they can't close the door because the Bible said that God has opened a door that no man can close. 1 Samuel, just the first 9 verses of chapter 21. Are you there? Just say amen. The reader will find these words. David, I'm reading from the NIV, please. David went to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why art thou alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech, the priest, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I'm sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.'" "Now then, what do you have on hand?" "Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever you can find." But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual, whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread. Since there was no bread there accepted the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword?" "I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent." Priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here, but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Grass withereth, the flower faded, but thank God that the word of God never fails. I want to talk a little while this morning. As God give me strength, as you pray, I'll preach. I want to talk about I will survive. I will survive. Survive does not mean to be exempt from trouble. Exempt does not, although we are saved, we're sanctified, we've been baptized, born again, but it does not exempt us from trouble. The Bible said that in this life, you will have some trials and tribulation. Job said that a man that's born of a woman is of a few days, and them few days, Job says, was full of trouble. I don't mind having trouble. I don't mind going through trouble, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that I will survive. In October 1978, there was a woman by the name of Gloria Gaynor, and she recorded a record. I don't want to glorify in the secular world, but you know where I'm going before I get there. She recorded this record that was written by Freddie Parent, and it was called I Will Survive. Y'all remember it, don't you? Gloria recorded this because it's a song about being in a relationship with her man, and her man left her, treated her bad, didn't bring home the paycheck, didn't do anything around the house, didn't set a good example for the children, but yet and still, when he left, Gloria fell victim until she came to herself. Then she said, go on, walk out the door. I don't care, because I don't want you anymore. She came to a conclusion that I will survive. She said, oh no, not I. I will survive. She says, as long as I know how to love, I'll live and I'll survive. I don't know what you're going through on this morning, the coronavirus, everybody seemingly so is scared about it, but I want you to know that whatever happens in the earth, God still is in control. It separates the wheat from the tares on today, because those of us who are running, ducking, dodging, and trying to hide, I want you to know that I will survive. And I know it without a shadow of a doubt, because I know in whom I put my trust in. I hear you all the time talking about I trust in God wherever he may be. But yet and still, most of y'all, Corey told me this morning, they ain't got no toilet paper in the store for the regular people. Because all of you Christian people who said that God is in control, you buying up all the toilet paper. But I want you to come to grips today and understand that I will. It's personal. I will survive. And most of us, we are going through something. Survival does not mean to escape trouble. Survival means to strive and to struggle and make it through. David, that same David declared in the 23rd Psalm, you heard him said, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. David was actually saying, I will survive as long as I got Jesus. I will survive. Most of us in here, I don't know what you're going through. Some of us are going through bad relationships. Some of us are going through trouble on our jobs and family issues. And some of us have been going through a long time. But there is a blessed assurance. As long as you know the Lord who makes us a promise, he said, I'll be with you. I promise I'll never leave you. And I don't know how you feel about that, but long as I got Jesus, I know I will survive. I can be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean without a boat or a paddle. I still believe that I will survive. David, my brothers and sisters, in the text, David is desperate. David is again, he's on the run. He's running for his life. He don't know now where to go. He don't know what to do. He's at the point of just trying to survive. Again, Saul is rapidly on his trail. David is on assignment because God assigned him to King Saul, and Saul had sent him on a mission. David now on assignment. But what do you do when your assignment tries to assassinate you? What do you do when you're on assignment by the king and the king takes the assignment and tries to assassinate you? David still had the utmost credence and respect for the Lord. David says, I will survive. Is there anybody here that's going through something right now, and seemingly so there's no end of the tunnel, seemingly so there's no light at the end, seemingly so everything around you is dark, darkness is all around you, you've tried this, you've tried that, you've been everywhere and you're still lost? David says, I will survive. And I want to share with us this morning, I've been there and I've done that, and I'm still going through something even now. But I promise you, I will survive. I've made up my mind. We used to sing a song. Old folks used to sing, yes, I'm going through. I made up my mind. I don't care what the rest of the world have decided to do. But I made up my mind. I'm going on through. In other words, what the songwriter was saying is, I will survive. What do you do when there is nothing else to do? In chapters 21 of 1 Samuel, all the way through chapter 31, David now is in the roughest, toughest struggle of his life. Saul now, who has intensified his attack to find David. He want to kill him. He's jealous of David. And David could not understand, for the love of God, why in the world would he be behind me? I mean, he's the king. He has it all. He has everything. Power, prestige, prominency. But yet and still, popularity. But yet and still, he want to kill little old me. David knew that he had to survive. There was an appointment. And David knew that he was anointed for the appointment. But he had to survive. He had to make it through. 10 years of his life, chapters 21 through chapter 31 of the book of 1 Samuel, David now is struggling. He's striving. He every day, he's just trying to make it to the next day. Can't you hear David saying, if it ain't one thing, sure enough, it's another. David, my brothers and sisters, he's hiding in caves. He's hiding behind the mountain. He's down low in the valleys. He's hiding in the wilderness. He's hiding in the deserts. He's trying to survive. He's trying to survive the attack of the enemy. What do you do? What do you do when your agenda is being attacked? What do you do now? You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to turn to. But David is in this situation. I don't know about you, but I can relate to David. I can relate to David. I've been there and done that. But David says, I will survive. And I wondered, Reverend Foster, how in the world you going to survive? You ain't got a weapon. Saul got an army, and you still talking about you survived. David, now he's hiding, running, struggling. Anybody been there? Just trying to make ends meet, trying to live from paycheck to paycheck. You've already robbed Pope Peter. Paul ain't got enough, even though you've taken from Peter. Is there anybody here this morning that can adamantly declare, I will survive? It don't matter what it look like. Looks can be deceiving. You looked at my bank account and you see nothing but zeros. Yet and still, I'm talking about what I'm going to get and where I'm going to go. Because I got the confidence, I trust, I have confidence in the Lord that the Lord will make a way somehow. Lord have mercy. David now, he's in an odd pericope. But yet and still, he's confident. Can I share with you three things why David was actually able to survive? One, the first thing David did is in the first verse. The Bible declared, first thing David needed, he needed a refuge. He needed a refuge. Verse number one says, David went to Nob. That's the new international version. But in the King James version, it declares, then David went to Nob. Then, Vanessa, means there was something that was happening before the then, because then comes after whatever was going on. Then, that means after David had struggled, that means then means after David had been up sometime and down sometime. Then means after David had been sick sometime and well sometime. Then means after David had went to his friends and friends turned their back on him. Then David, he goes to Nob. Nob, what's going on here in Nob? A refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge is a hiding place. It's a safe haven. It's a place where you can be comfortable, even though you know the enemy is on your trail. Even though you know they know where you live. Even though you know he knows your telephone number. Even though you know that the enemy knows where you get your hair cut. He knows your post office box. But yet and still you're confident that I will survive because David found a refuge. And where is the refuge? Lord, I feel like preaching. Y'all help me preach. Where is the refuge? He goes to Nob. Why Nob? Because Nob now is where the tabernacle is located. Because if you back up a little bit, I think in chapter 19, Shiloh was the place where the tabernacle was, Corey, but Shiloh had been burned down, had been overtaken. So they moved the tabernacle. They put a tabernacle in Nob. Nob, my brothers and sisters, was called the city of the priests. They go to Nob. He goes to Nob. He goes to, in other words, he goes to the place where the tabernacle, I don't understand why y'all ain't shouting. Listen, he goes to the church. David knew that in order that he survived, he had to find a place of refuge. I remember back when the church used to be a place of refuge. Church used to be a place where prayers can be heard and mercy can be granted. But now, church has become a theatrical setting where people are performing, people are styling and profiling. David knew that in order that I survive,
he had to find a place. He needed a place of refuge. And Saint David in Psalm 46 declared, God is my refuge. He's a present help in a time of trouble. David knew that he could find safety in the house of the Lord. Although the Ark of the Covenant was still in Obed-Edom's house, but the tabernacle, it was a representative of the presence of the Lord. The church is God's house. The church is where God resides. The church is the place where the people of God ought to feel comfortable, ought to feel safe in the church house. David says, if I can only make it to the... It's the same David who declared, I was glad. Yeah, when they said unto me, David said, not when I got there, not when I'm on my way there, but David said, when they said it. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach it. I feel that. David said, when somebody echoed to me, let's go, I got happy at the thought of going to the church. Don't know about you, but listen, let me tell you, I'm at physical therapy, Vanessa. They're working on my arms and they're working on my legs and they're hoping and they're praying that I can get up and I can walk and I can receive the activities of my limb. And all I'm doing is saying, just let me make it to the church. That's all I want. I just want to go to church and people telling me, Pastor, you going to let them wheelchair you in the church? I say they're going to wheelchair me in the church. I'm going to push the wheelchair because I'm going to the church. I know that if I make it to the church, everything's going to be all right with me. I don't know about you, but just let me make it to the church. I don't know about you, but I feel better when I get to the church. Betty, I'm all right. Just let me make it. I may not be able to walk. I may not be able to talk. But let me make it to the church. Satan is not afraid of you. But if you make it to the church, if you make it to God's house, he is no match for the Lord. David says, I got to make it to place of refuge. I'm going to hurry up because they told me don't stay up here too long. But David says, in order that I survive, David says, I have to make it to Nob, because Nob is where the tabernacle was. And watch it, because as soon as he gets to the tabernacle, David declares, David said, I want to see Ahimelech. He looked for Ahimelech. Not only, he knew that not only did he need a refuge, but he needed a resource. Lord help me preach. He needed the resource, and Ahimelech the priest was the resource. Now, he wasn't the source. He was the resource. He knew how to get to God. And the problem with us nowadays, we're making our bishop, we're making our apostles. Y'all ain't gonna help me pray. Yeah, I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. We're making our pastors our source. But pastor ain't the source. Prophet at the source, bishop, I don't care who he is or who he think he is not the source. And can I share with you, until people stop making people their source, they will not hear from or will not reach their source. They're only going, listen, there's only so much that your resource can. I saw pass behind a guy and he had a license plate that says, God is my co-pilot. I said, that's why you gonna wreck. Never make God co-nothing
Lord have mercy.
Hear me, hear me, hear me. God is all. David said the Lord is. The psalmist said the Lord is. And anything that follows is, just put it there, because he's everything. He's all I need. David declared, I need resource. He needed a resource and he found Ahimelech. Now you got to understand, if you back up, look in the book. There were three people in David's life that really made a difference. There was three people in David's life that David was actually able to comply with. In David's life, there was three people who served him. You understand, you remember Jonathan. Jonathan was David's friend. He was David's partner. Jonathan was Saul's son. Now Saul hated David, but Jonathan loved David. Saul tried to hurt David, but Jonathan tried to help David. Jonathan stood beside David in heated battle. Jonathan stood with him. In fact, Jonathan made a covenant agreement with him. He said, my father will not hurt you. You will be king. And he said, I will be with you. I don't know about you, but every now and then you need somebody to stand with you. Jonathan, my brothers and sisters, although Saul hated David, Jonathan helped David. That lets me know that every time there's a hater, God will send a helper. Do I have a witness? You ought to invite, you ought to beckon for your haters, because for every haters, God has sent a helper. For everybody that's trying to hurt you, God has sent somebody to help you. You need a resource. Not only did he have Jonathan, because Jonathan was his partner, but then he had Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. Samuel stood between him and God. Jonathan stood beside, but Samuel stood between. Samuel was more the mediator. You remember when the Lord sent Samuel over by Jesse? And Jesse had 8 boys. And watch this, because sometime even your family don't recognize the anointing that's on your life. God sent Samuel. He said, listen, there is a king in Jesse's house. And Samuel goes over and tells Jesse. You remember how Jesse marched all 7 of his boys before Sam, and Sam pulled the awl on the head and nothing happens. So Sam said, you must have another son, because I know what the Lord said. And Jesse declared, well, I got another boy, but he's out attending to the sheep. He's out there fanning the flies off his father-in-law's flock. Jesse said, go fetch him. Sam said, bring him in. Brought in David. When he brought in David, Sam pulled the awl on his head. And I heard David declare, thou anointed my head with awe. David, oh, not a hide, turned into a Jericho. Curls started hanging everywhere. Recognizing, realizing that David then was anointed by God. David had, my brothers and sisters, he had Jonathan was his partner who stood beside him. Samuel was the prophet and the priest. Prophet who stood between him. And then now he need Ahimelech. Ahimelech the priest. Told Ahimelech. Ahimelech was the one who stood before him. And David declared again. He said,
Ahimelech, I need somebody to stand before me. I don't know how you feel about it, but in order that I survive, I need somebody to stand before me. It's all right if you stand with me, because you be careful, because a whole lot of them folks who's standing with you, you know, they tell you, Daniel, I'm going to be with you through the thick and the thin. But when stuff gets thick, they get thin. But it's good. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's good to have somebody to stand before you. And I was so glad. I was so glad when I was able to make it to the church. Because I know, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through, Vanessa, when I'm trying to survive, I need somebody. I need a prayer warrior. I need somebody praying for me. Yeah, I'm glad that my mama prayed for me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. But right now, I need somebody. I need somebody in the church. Corey, I knew that if I make it to New Vision, I know Corey was going to pray for me. I need Daniel. I need somebody who's going to lay prostrate before the Lord and say, Lord, heal him. Lord, take care of him. Lord, give him strength. I need a prayer warrior. Corey, David said, if I'm going to survive, I need a prayer warrior. Don't care how much money you got, I need a prayer warrior. I don't care how much prestige you got, I need a prayer warrior. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody who know how to get through to the Lord. I need somebody who actually have been having relationship with the Lord. I need somebody, y'all are helping me. I need somebody to talk to the Lord on my behalf. I need somebody to lift me up in prayer. I need somebody, Corey, when I'm down and don't look like I can get up, I need somebody to stoop down and pick me up. Place me before the Lord. I need somebody who had me on their mind and took out a little time and prayed for me. David said, I got to hurry. David said, in order that I survive, I need a refuge. I need a place. And can I tell you, if New Vision is the only safe place for you, baby, you're in trouble. You need a place of refuge even where you live. You need a place of refuge even on your job. You need, Grandpa used to say, every now and then I can steal away. Go to the secret places where I can talk to the Lord. Anybody know little talk? Yeah, with Jesus. Make everything. Yeah, I don't care what you're going through. Just little talk. David said, I know I'm going to survive. I got a refuge. No, I'm going to survive. I got a resource. But David says, there's somebody now behind me. David seemingly so, he thinks I need a little bit more. I need something to protect me. Read it when you get home. I need, he said, I ain't got no sword. I ain't got no weapon. I didn't bring anything with me. Because of my haste, I was trying to hurry up. So I need a weapon. He said, Ahimelech, do y'all have a weapon here? Do y'all have a bazooka? Whereas I can defend myself. I feel comfortable. If I have, I'm going to survive, but if you give me something. Ahimelech declared, he said, listen, this is a church. And we don't have no weapons here. We don't carry no weapons here. And then Ahimelech said, oh, wait a minute. There is a sword that's in the back. It's covered. It's under the ephod. You remember? He said it was Goliath's sword. You might remember that sword. You remember in the valley of Elah when you defeated Goliath. You might know that sword. David said, oh yeah. I remember. Give it to me. Let me close. Yeah, help me close. David said, Ahimelech told him, said, listen, I'm going to give you the sword. But the sword is not a weapon. Not a weapon for you to fight. Because if you know the Lord. Lord, I wish I could preach that. He said, when the enemy comes up against you like a flood, they'll fall before you lift a finger. Don't use the sword as a weapon to fight, but use it as a reminder. Lord, help me preach this. Use it as a reminder of your faith. In other words, David started reminiscing. David said, I'm not worried about the sword to fight, but long as I got faith, I remember it wasn't the slingshot that killed Goliath, but it was my faith that I was able to realize and recognize that the Lord was with me. Well, I wish I had a witness here. All I need is a reminder. And Daniel, while I'm going through what I'm going through, thank God that the Lord gave me a reminder. Can I tell you, the stroke is not my first rodeo. No, baby, I've rode this horse before. In 2003, my body was stricken with cancer. But can I tell you, I wasn't worried about the doctor's diagnosis, because I knew that I will survive, because the Lord gave me the prognosis. He told me before I went in that I was really, I'm coming out. I don't know about you this morning, but I will survive. It doesn't matter what the devil might say. Can I tell you, as long as I got a refuge, let me go to the house of the Lord. I tell you, I can find peace in the midst of a storm. Isaiah told me that if I kept my mind stayed on Jesus, everything will be alright. He'll keep me steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord. Don't know but you, but here is my refuge. Here is the place that the Lord told me that he's coming back, and he's coming back for the church. Not only, Lord help me preach this day, not only do I have a refuge, but I have a resource. I got somebody who can talk to the Lord on my behalf. Every now and then, you might see me down, but Corey gonna bring me up. I wish I had a witness here. I will survive. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Just keep me in your plan. Anybody know plan? Prayer changes things. Anybody know prayer? Changes conditions. Anybody know prayer? I'll make you do right when you try to do wrong. Anybody know prayer? I'm glad somebody had me on your mind. Somebody prayed for me. I'm not worried a God for refuge. I'm not worried. I got resource. I'm not worried. Don't worry about me. I'm not worried. I got a reminder. Yeah, I've been down before. But the Lord picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on hollow ground. One of these days, if you miss me from preaching down here and you can't find me nowhere, every now and then, don't know but you, but I hear music up above my head. There must be a God that sits high, a God that looks low, a God with healing in his head, a God who died on the cross. But that's not where the story ends. Sunday morning, he got up. Y'all ain't gonna help me cold. He got up. Yeah, he got up with all power. And because he got up, I'm able, my ride is coming. Yeah, I will see my mama. She over there. I got a brother over there. I will. Don't worry. Don't stop me. I will.